Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Happy Super Bowl Sunday. You got your veggie trays ready for this afternoon? All kinds of treats? Yeah, sure you do. This is an amazing weekend of ministry as it continues today on Sunday morning with the kickoff with episode one of a brand new series called Blueprint. And we're going to be not just looking at relationships in general, but how to build healthy, lasting relationships. But before we jump into the Word of God this morning, I want to take a minute and give a shout out and big thanks to Pastors Vince, Brad, and Mark and their teams, as well as our small groups. This weekend, they all were shining bright, man. We had a fantastic weekend at our Together family conference, kicked off on Friday evening with our guest speaker, Simon Gow. Our Root band was there, and Pastor Brad and his team did an incredible job ministering to our young people, our students. Saw many that made commitments to Christ for the first time. How many understand that when this relationship is working, these relationships tend to go a little smoother? And so we saw a lot of young people making those kind of commitments. And then yesterday we spent a full day with Pastors John and Helen Burns, our good friends, sharing from the Word of God with our men and our women and our married couples. It was good stuff. And it was straight talk and to the heart. Our kids had a blast yesterday at the pajama party palooza. I wish we were wearing pajamas yesterday, but we'll have to work on that for the next time. But it was fantastic, really, to see within our church, within our lives, God doing great things to bring health to every one of our relationships. And so today, you get a taste of that. So if you missed it, you get a little carryover of what God was doing all weekend. And I encourage you next year, when we have our next conference, our family conference, to sign up and to be a part of it. Don't miss out. It is fantastic. All right, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Colossians and put your finger there. Pause for a moment. Now, for those of you that have ever seen a job site or been on a construction site, you're likely to come across something that looks like this. This is a blueprint. As a matter of fact, this is a blueprint for this church. What I'm looking at right now is what I'm looking at out here. This is a blueprint for this very auditorium. And any good build, any lasting build, starts right here. It has to start with the master plan. The architect sits down, all the right measurements. This goes there, that goes there. If you want a building to last, then it has to start with a blueprint. And I am told, as a matter of fact, that when the earth starts shaking, and because we are in that part of the world, that one of the safest places to be is in this building. We have a very healthy build when it comes to being earthquake ready, as best as we can be. But blueprints are incredibly important in our lives as well. And similarly, we see God's blueprint for healthy relationships mapped out within His Word. The same way these prints will give guidelines for where things should go, how things should be built in order for the building to function properly, for it to be healthy and lasting. All those things kind of carry over into how God views our relationships. That there are many things that will vary, obviously, from relationship to relationship. But there are some common things that we need to hold on to when it comes to things like load-bearing walls and the basic structure, the foundation. If you don't have a good foundation in place, then indeed when the world shakes, things go awry. And even on a construction project, when the project veers away from the original plan, away from the blueprint, things get hectic. Things get confusing and unhealthy. And so we need to similarly find our way back to the plan, to the original purpose for what relationships are all about. So in this series, we're going to look at God's blueprint for healthy relationships, how we can follow those guidelines so that we can better frame up the relationships that He wants to be effective in our lives, with a kind of a balance between the spiritual and the practical. Now, some of us need to start with a build from the ground up. right? Brand new relationships that we've started, how we can put those in place and maintain those relationships for them to be healthy. Others are dealing with kind of a fixer-up relationship. And I'm not just talking about love and marriage. I'm talking about friends and life. And anytime you have people, you have drama and you have relationships. And some of those fixer-upper relationships might need a little Chip and JoJo help, right? Slap a little shiplap on there and maybe spruce it up a little bit so that we can improve some of the relationships that we have. And God's heart is for that. Now, the Apostle Paul in Scripture kind of gives us the gold standard for what healthy relationships ought to be. And he's writing a letter to the Colossian church from prison. You've got lots of time on your hands when you're locked up. And he had heard about the progress of the Colossian church, which was fantastic. Church overall was doing really well. But they were also feeling the pressures of the day. And so while still staying devoted to God, they were struggling in their relationships to one another. And so he writes this letter to help them understand the blueprint for healthy relationships. Let's look at it together. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12 through verse 14. It says, "You are always dearly loved by God. So robe yourself with virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be healthy." It's very important that you understand that this word chosen is a very important one in your life, that you're not random, that you're not passing through this world like a cosmic pinball bouncing off every situation, hoping for the best. He has chosen you. He has a great purpose for your life. It says, "Be merciful." So he begins to talk about the virtues of what a healthy relationship should look like, the things that you find in the blueprint for his plan. "Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others." It's difficult to understand others, isn't it, sometimes? Let's look at somebody and go, okay, all right. You just have to kind of keep moving on. It's difficult to understand others. The Bible says, "Be merciful as you endeavor to do that. And be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble." Listen to this word, unoffendable. Any undefendable people out there? I don't know. I can't even lift my hand for that one. That's a challenging one. I strive towards it. I need Christ's help with it. But being undefendable, that is a high bar. Be unoffendable in your patience with others. Tolerate the weakness of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way that you've been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. Never forget that when you have the ability to forgive, that you have already been forgiven yourself. And so you need to pass along in kind to pay that forward, to be a reflection of his love. The only person that you hold locked up in that scenario is yourself when you don't release people. It goes on to say that if you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme. I think that's an incredible statement. Love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. God wants you to mature in your faith, to mature in the relationships that you have. So Paul gives us this picture or blueprint of what true maturity should look like when we're building healthy relationships. And as we start this month-long series, I want to start today with a very important building block that needs to be locked into that foundation. That is the foundational building block of respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, baby. You need respect. And it's very important if we're going to understand God's plan and blueprint for establishing the health that we need in those relationships. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Father, we thank you today for the word of God. We are so thankful that you've given us that guideline, that blueprint to know how to do it. Because on our own, it's frustrating and we get confused and we walk in and struggle in the things that are ahead of us. But Lord, we have great hope, knowing that it is not our strength alone that will get it done, but it is your strength being perfected within us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Truth is, we live today in an increasingly rude world. The things that we see like common courtesy are not as common as they used to be. Last year, Susan and I were traveling back from Bulgaria through the Frankfurt airport. And it was a very busy airport. and the gate that we were in. You know, most gates have the jetway right out to the plane. This one, you went down an escalator and you got to the bottom and you were waiting for a shuttle. And everybody jammed onto the shuttle and they were waiting to the last possible moment to cram everybody like sardines into this little submarine of a shuttle. And then it would take you out onto the tarmac on the runway and you'd get out on the runway and go up the stairs outside into the plane. And so we were cramming in with everybody else with the press of humanity and finally found a seat and we're holding onto our luggage before the bus started to move. But on the far side of the shuttle, I could see the door just about to close and a lady was struggling to get her bag up. Her thing wouldn't close and she was pulling it up and she was incredibly pregnant. Like she was ready to deliver, I think, that afternoon. But she was having a hard time. And what amazed me as I watched is that as she struggled to get on, everybody didn't even see it. Most people, I would say 90% of them, were doing this, looking at their phone. I must look at this. I must TikTok my life away. I have to see what's on my social media. And they didn't see this poor girl struggling. How often do we pass right by need that is right in front of us because we're so preoccupied sometimes with our own lives? And many of the people that were there on the bus that day, although they were ready to board their plane, were looking at their phone at things that probably had very little eternal significance. And yet right in front of them was a clear and present need. Now I was on the far side of the bus. There was a lot of people between me and that lady. And so I was kind of watching. And so she, again, is just pulling this thing on. And the bus starts to go. And she's wobbling all over the place. And I'm like, oh, my dear, that woman's going to fall on the ground. And so she finally grabs the bar. And nobody does anything. Nobody gets up. Now, there was a day when if you jumped on the SkyTrain of the bus this afternoon, that if an elderly person got on or somebody that was struggling, like a pregnant lady, that people would be like, please, take my seat. Nobody moved. Nobody offered this woman any help whatsoever. So finally, I just said, I can't watch this anymore. Because it wasn't like I was standing next to her. I was like a little distance away. But I stood up and I said, ma'am, can I help you? And she goes, oh, would you please, could you take, this thing won't close. And I said, no problem. I figured it out. I closed it. I said, why don't you take my seat? Let me help you over here. And then it was like, as soon as I did, there was about a half a dozen people that went, oh, yeah, I guess I should have did something there, right? I should have moved in. Common courtesy is not as common as it once was. It seems like we struggle in today's society to show respect to one another. We save it for certain people. And so this level of respect is probably at an all-time low. I think our favorite kind of humor these days is also sarcasm, right? It's usually a laugh at somebody else's expense. If you tune into late-night television, Colbert, Kimmel, Fallon, you spend the first part of the monologue that you'll see is them just cutting people to ribbons to get a laugh. Everyone from celebrities to politicians, anybody that's a big enough target is not safe, right? Nobody is off limits. And people eat it up. The YouTube subscribers, the viewers on television, they love, this is all great consumable content that people are demanding. They want more of it all. And it's difficult. It's difficult because we see that there's a better way. And today, if you're on the international stage and you were asked to do something, whether you're the prime minister or whether you're a royal or the president, if you walk across an international stage and trip on a cord or say something wrong, you become a meme in seconds. People are mocking you. And it's, if there's videos of it instantly online and people are laughing and making the best of that situation. But the Bible makes it clear that respect is one of those values that's necessary in life and it's necessary in relationships. And Scripture is actually very specific about it. Some of these elements we know we've grown up with, but we don't always practice. The Bible talks about having respect for our parents, for those in authority, respect for our elders, respect for our leaders. The Bible goes on to instruct wives to respect and reverence their husbands. And husbands are to respect and reverence their wives. And if we think somehow that someone doesn't fit into one of these equations that I've just mentioned, then the Lord goes on to say that we're to respect and honor everybody. all men, that we're to show that kind of courtesy. 1 Peter 2:17 says, show proper respect to who? To everyone. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers, fear God, and honor the emperor, or honor the king, or the leaders of the land. I think at the end of the day, we all want to be respected. We want other people to treat us with dignity and to feel like we have that worth. But the truth is, usually the people that struggle with this, that disrespect you, are going through a turmoil themselves. They're feeling disrespected, and so they feel in some way they need to kind of pass along that discontentment. And that anger dwells and brews and bubbles over and hurts other people. They're trying to always push baby in the corner, right? Push people down, not letting them step out into what they're called to do. Because it makes them feel somehow better. If they can keep you down, then it somehow elevates them to some degree. And it makes them feel maybe temporarily a little escape from the pain that they're feeling. But interestingly enough, while there seems to be still in this society a demand for respect, meaning, you know, everybody still wants it, there seems to still be very little willingness to give it, to give respect. I want respect! Yeah, but are you willing to give that same respect to the people around you? In its simplest form, respect is really all about recognizing in other people their value. It's seeing their value and expressing honor or esteem to those around you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others. Where? Above yourself. Most of us are pretty good at taking care of ourselves, but the Bible says that we need to devalue others even above ourselves. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another, again, above yourself. So we need to set a high value on every person, regardless of their position or importance. You don't need to save it for the Duke and Duchess of Sussex when they move into Fraser Heights in the spring. Did you know? Breaking news. Yeah, they're coming right down the road from your house. You don't have to save it for the royals. That same value, that same respect that we have and can offer, we need to show to our spouse. We need to show to our neighbor, to our friends, to our pastor, to your mayor, to your Uber driver if you live in Surrey. Show them some respect. Help those people step up. We need to show respect wherever we go. See, that's the kingdom way. That is the Jesus way. To truly love Christ is to love what he loves and to value what he values. And the truth is, he values every single person. It's easy, even in church circles, to get caught up in the work of God and forget people, forget to value who they are. We get busy doing, and we spend less time being who we're called to be. Mother Teresa once said it this way. She said, there is always the danger that we may just do the work for the sake of the work. This is where the respect and the love and the devotion come in, that we do it for God, to Christ. And that's why we try to do it as beautifully as possible. Isn't that well spoken? Well done, Mother Teresa. She knew how to say it because she lived it. She lived it in her life. And so as we seek to reach the lost at any cost, we must always recognize the value in the people that we're trying to reach with that message, knowing that God loves them dearly. Now, there's a number of scriptures that we could use to frame up what the principle of respect looks like, how to place a higher value on others than we do ourselves. But I'd like to focus on just one in particular and pull out three truths that we can connect to this. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 12. Matthew 7, 12 says this, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Luke says it similarly, like this, he says in Luke 6:31, do to others what you would have them do to you. Do you know what that's called? That's called the golden rule, right? That's what we call the golden rule of how we get along and treat other people. So let me give you some blueprint truths that we can pull from Matthew 7:12 and use them as building blocks in this very important foundation that we need to have when it comes to developing healthy relationships. Okay, truth number one, you are only responsible for yourself. You're only responsible for yourself. Now, honestly, I think this is probably one of the most difficult ones to master in our lives. Most of us on some level are trying to control other people. We're trying to control what is beyond our control. This is what I mean. You're not responsible for how others treat you. You're only responsible for how you treat others. That's within the realm of your control. But you can't control what the guy in traffic is going to say to you as you take his spot. It might not be pretty. You can't control that. But you can control how you respond. If you respond in love, that's one thing. If you react out of anger for anger, that's a whole other different scenario leading to destruction. And so this is true in family. It's true in business. It's true within the church. Romans 14:12 says, therefore, each one must answer for himself and give a personal account of his own life before God. You're only responsible for yourself. So understand that you have decisions to make every single day. Truth number two, you should not treat others in the way that they treat you. Now, unfortunately, this is our natural sinful tendency. This is our default that we quickly go to. When someone mistreats me, I'm going to mistreat them. When someone is unkind to us, then we want to be unkind to them. If you smack me, I'm looking for my baseball bat, and I'm going to offer you my side of the equation. If someone is hateful towards us, we feel like we need to return in kind. That's why we see so many senseless crimes, so many senseless altercations on the road or elsewhere. You know, they say that police officers will tell you that one of the most dangerous calls that they can get is a domestic dispute. Do you know why? Because it's so incredibly unpredictable. It's people whose passions are already engaged because they're related, or they were once in love, or they're trying to stay in love, and things are, it can go sideways at any moment. Somebody can grab a kitchen knife and a pot and do something. And so not only are the people at risk, but the people responding are at risk. Because of this tendency in us that when we are attacked, we want to attack back. That's just human nature. And so if you look at Scripture, there's some incredible biblical characters that demonstrate a higher way, the kingdom way, when in fact they were seemingly justified to respond in a vengeful way or to try to be hateful towards those that were hating. Look at Joseph, right? Nobody better in Scripture to model this and to model the first two truths that we've just talked about. Joseph couldn't control how his brothers, how Potiphar, how Potiphar's wife, how Pharaoh's butler treated him. Joseph could only control how he handled himself, his own actions and his own attitudes. This is a guy who was thrown in a hole, left for dead, sold into slavery, and then was elevated in a position that nobody ever could have saw coming except the Lord. And then he was given an opportunity to face those brothers, and he could have off with their head. He could have rained down justice. But instead, he showed mercy. And so it's hard to understand mercy when you've been wronged. Joseph, he was wronged. Potiphar wronged him. Potiphar's wife wronged him. Pharaoh's brother or butler wronged him. And yet we never see Joseph engage in getting even. It amazes me, his response. It's like a higher part to the higher road that we need to take. And so his response is the opposite to what our brains would say. Look at this in Genesis 50, verse 20 to 21. This is Joseph in this moment when he could have just decimated them. This is his response. He says, you intended harm for me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. And I'm sure they were. They probably thought this is where it all comes to an end for us. He says, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Isn't that awesome? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't treat mankind the way that mankind treated Jesus? Right? on the cross, people spitting, people ridiculing, people mocking. All he did is came to heal, to save, to lead the way, to give hope. And yet some of the people that he had given their very voice were now using it to hurl obscenities towards him. Jesus demonstrated how unlike us sometimes, because when we're disrespected, we're quick to cry foul on the play, right? We're quick to shout out about how unfair that we've been treated. And yet kingdom relationships, they always follow a different path, a higher path. Romans 12, 17 says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone." Listen to this. "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay.' Let the Lord fight your battles, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, what do? You get a bigger gun." No. The Bible says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That is the power of the Word of God. Truth number three, the last one. Treating others in the way that you desire to be treated is one of the most powerful things that you can do. Scripture illustrates that clearly. Just to remind you what we just said in Matthew 7:12. "So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." Then go on to Matthew 22:39-40. I'm giving you a lot of scripture today because I want to see you to see the incredible importance, the blueprint guidelines for healthy relationships. Matthew 22:39, and the second is like it. "Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." The mission of this house, of this church: loving God, loving people. You can't have one without the other. You can't be effective in one without being effective in the other. The two are incredibly linked. Now, as we land the plane, let me give you a couple of practical ways that you can show respect to other people while still fulfilling the promise that we see here in Matthew 7:12. First thing is, just use words that build people up. This week, this afternoon, today in church, use words that build people up. Ephesians 4:29 says, "And never let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth, but instead let your words become beautiful gifts that encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to help them." Isn't that an incredible picture? Your words can be an atomic bomb, or it can be an incredible gift. You have the ability to make that decision every day. Employers, those that work with large groups of people, people that work with coworkers, you can either lead with fear or lead with respect. And if you do, or you invest in that field, people will show it to you. Don't demand it if you're not willing to show it. Sometimes we think, well, I'm the guy on the white horse. I get to make all the calls. People need to respect me. Why? You need to show respect too. You need to demonstrate the way. Lead by example, honor and esteem. Establish value in people's lives. They will go the extra mile. There's people in my life over the years that have shown me incredible respect and honor and esteem. I know that they value me, and because of it, I honor them. I value them. I don't have any problem with that kind of a relationship, because now I keep doing it myself. I keep practicing it myself. So use words that build people up. As you try to reach your neighbor and your friends, those that are hopeless without Christ, as we try to reach the lost, use words that build people up. Encourage them. Find ways to connect with them. Don't just talk about yourself all the time. Take time to slow down and listen. People are just dying for someone to listen to them. Second thing you can do is be kind in your actions and your attitudes. Just be kind. It sounds so simple, but it's so hard sometimes. Because sometimes we're hurting. Sometimes people haven't been kind to us. And so we think, why do I need to be kind to anybody? Nobody's been kind to me. You got to plant the seeds of the crop that you're believing for in your own life. You hear what I'm saying? Be kind. Be kind in your actions. Be kind in your attitudes. Tomorrow on the SkyTrain, if someone gets on that's a senior or somebody that's struggling or the mom that has a little kid, one hand, another baby on the way, give them your seat. Do something kind. It's not rocket science. It's one moment at a time. Ephesians 4:32 says, but instead, be kind and affectionate toward one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? What is the answer to that? Yes, most certainly. Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. So good. So good. All of this scripture, all of these truths helping us to lay the foundation for healthy relationships. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you today for those you've brought into our lives, those that bless us and challenge us. I pray for your help to love everyone, to show esteem and honor, to recognize value in the lives of every single person around us, to love people the way that you love us, to forgive as we've been forgiven. I pray for those today that are struggling in that area, that if they're hurting, if people have offended or betrayed their trust, today I pray that you would do a great miracle in their lives, that by your strength you would help them to forgive, to let people go, to grow and mature in the relationships they have. And I pray for health in every relationship, in every business, in every church, in every community, in every family. Lord, I pray that you would reign and we would see your purposes established by the blueprints you've given us for healthy relationships. In Jesus' name, amen.